Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara, at the top of Daf Tes Vov, is a continuation of the discussion concerning Hoilocho Shelo Beregel. We saw at the very bottom of Daf Yud Dalid that Hoilocho Shelo Beregel Lo Shmo Holocho. That was, of course, in the name of Ula Om Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara here at the top asks, can Hoilocho Shelo Beregel, which, by the way, is a situation where one does not carry the blood of the korban of the sacrifice by walking with it, but rather he outstretches his arm, his hand, he stretches out his hand and hands it to someone closer to the Mizbeach in anticipation of its eventual Zrika. The question now is, let us say Hoilocho Shelo Beregel was done. Efshar l'skuna oy loy efshar l'skuna. Is it possible to repair this situation? Namely, can the holocha be done in such a way that it won't be possible? Once Hoilocho Shelo Beregel was done, for let us say part of the job, or until the Zrika actually took place, it was done Shelo Beregel, can we now be misaking the situation? So we have a new geometric form that appears at the top, a triangle with a colored in tip, and as you scan down the page, you'll notice how this reappears numerous times in an alternating position. So on the side of our Gemara, on the Nosei heading, we have introduced the Gemara by saying, "I amris dehoilocho shelo beregel lo shmo halocha." If it is claimed that halocho shelo beregel is not considered a proper halocha, ha'im efshar l'skuna, is it possible to fix it? Ha'im efshar l'takna. The mivneh, which is a structural note, features the triangles, and we also call this a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the discussion. With the point facing up, efshar l'takna, it will be possible, it will indicate, the Gemara will indicate that it is possible to repair the situation. With the triangle inverted, e efshar l'takna. So as we mentioned before, if you scan down the Gemara, you'll see the different positions the Gemara takes as we go along. So the first position is that it is possible to repair the situation. Toshma. By the way, this also spans four lines, and you can see this by the length marker to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You see a Toshma that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that these lines, that the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line, form the point being made. So Toshma, Kibel HaKosher, Venosan Leposel, a Kohen who is expected to do Kabbalah Sadam, he did it, he's the kosher one for that, and then he gave the Dam, he handed it to a Posel, to someone who's not supposed to be doing the Avoda. Yachzir LeKosher, the Posel who received the Dam should give it back to the kosher individual. At this point, it would seem that Hoilocho Shelo Beregel has a tikkun. Unehi nami diachzor hakosher v'yikablenu. And granted, as we re-explained this source on Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis, you'll notice we have to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a little arrow with a Yud Dalid Omid Beis indicator. If you scan Daf Yud Dalid Omid Beis also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, you'll notice on the lower part of the page, second line from the bottom, a corresponding arrow indicating where this is coming from. On the Gemara, on Yud Dalid Omid Beis, the Gemara featured this source and reinterpreted it as meaning that the posel who received the dam doesn't hand it back to the kosher individual, but rather the kosher individual, he walks up to the point that the Pusel is standing and takes it from that point onwards to the Mizbeach. That's what the Yachsur HaKosher V'Kablanu. So even though we are reinterpreting that source, nevertheless, Isalka Daitoch Lo Efshel Iskuna, if you would be of the opinion that Halacha Shelo Beregel has no Tikkun, in other words, once it's done, it creates a Psul, then Ifsela La, this Halacha that's featured in the source would have already been ruined. So from the fact that there is hope, so to speak, from the fact that if the kosher comes along, the kosher individual comes and takes it from the one who received it, albeit improperly, but from the fact that he carries it on to the Mizbeach, that shows that Holocho Shelo Beregel has hope, has a tikkun to it. The Gemara asks, Mi Savris Dekoi Zar Gavoi, who says that this source at all, to begin with, shows that there was Holocho Shelo Beregel that took place. Translating the Gemara, who says that the Zar, who is the improper individual, was standing Gavoi, means inside, namely towards the Mizbeach. You know, if he was standing closer to the Mizbeach than the kosher one, then Ein Hochinami, then in fact that would have been an example of Holocho Shelo Beregel. Holocho is a process whereby we draw the Dam closer to the Mizbeach. However, the Gemara says that this case was not speaking about the Zar, the improper individual, being closer to the Mizbeach. Rather, Lo, Dekoi Zar Baroi. The Zar, the improper individual, is standing actually further away from where the kosher person was. And as such, that doesn't even constitute a holocha to begin with. It's not a holocha that we would be able to label as posel. Itmar, Omar Ula Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Holocha Shelo Beregel, Psula. From this comment of Ula in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara concludes, Alma lo efshar liskuna. We see from here that it's not possible to repair it, to fix the situation. Eisvei Rav Nachman Ula. Now Rav Nachman challenges Ula's teaching and says, he quotes a source, Nishbach min hakli al haritzpa v'osvoi kosher. If the dam from an animal, from a sacrifice that was slaughtered, the dam was received in the receiving vessel, and from that vessel it spilled onto the floor, and then they gathered up the dam, it's kosher. The dam can be then brought to the Mizbeach for Zrika. Now there's a basic assumption in this scenario where the dam spilled on the floor, some of the dam obviously flowed toward the Mizbeach. The fact that the blood moved toward the Mizbeach, that would be a Holocho Shelo Beregel. As we said a little earlier, movement of dam toward the Mizbeach is categorized as Holocho. Here in this case, it moved toward the Mizbeach by virtue of gravity, if you will. It flowed on the floor toward the Mizbeach. Gather it up, and it's okay. So we see that Holocho Shelo Beregel is not possible. The Gemara responds, Hocho b'mai askinon. Notice with the triangle, we're going to be following the position that Ula took, that Holocho Shelo Beregel would be posel. And how do you explain this particular source? Hocho b'mai askinon, kishiyotza lachutz. What happened over here is that the dam flowed away from the Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, Libaroi Nofik Ligavoi Lo Ayil. Once again, Libaroi Nofik, the dam, are you saying, flowed away, far further away, and it didn't flow toward? It's a rather unusual circumstance. How can you imagine that if there's a random spilling of blood, of liquid on the floor, that it would flow in one direction? The Gemara answers, we can say that. Before we go on, if you were to say that it flowed away from the Mizbeach, then we would be saying that it's only because of that gathering it up will help. Had it flowed toward the Mizbeach, then the source would not have been able to say kosher. At this point, the Gemara is answering that, in fact, the blood did flow only in one direction, namely away from the Mizbeach. And as a result of that, there was no improper halacha done, because there, the dam distanced itself from the Mizbeach. Now, how do you explain that? So, answer one, the Moko Midron. It was an incline where the dam fell at a point at which the decline, if you will, led away from the Mizbeach. So we can imagine a one-directional flow. Number two, Iboy Seimo Beguma. The blood that was just described in the source that fell from, that spilled from the vessel, it spilled into a hole, hence into a depression in the floor of the Azara, hence it didn't flow toward the Mizbeach. Number three, Iboy Seimo Besmicha. Smicha means the dam is thick, so that unlike a thinner type liquid which would flow in all directions, a thick liquid like this, like the dam, could be imagined flowed only in one direction. The Gemara asks about these interpretations of the source. The Ichbal Tana Lashmin and Kol Hani, did the Tana go out of his way to teach these rather unlikely scenarios? The Oid, if you want to insist that halacha shelo beregel is posel, then adetoni beidach pirkin, instead of teaching in the next perek the following case of spilling on the floor and resulting in psul, nishbach al haritzba, the osfoi posel, if the dam flowed after an animal was slaughtered, it wasn't received in a vessel, but rather the dam flowed directly onto the floor and was gathered from the floor. The source says, since there was no kabbalah b'kli, so it's posel. So the gathering up of the dam won't help. This won't help anymore. Why, if you want to teach a case of psul, notice for your convenience, we've emphasized with a diamond the word posel here. Contrast that with the source just above, where you see a diamond, you see kosher. Why, in order to find a case of psul, of unacceptability, do you have to go to a different scenario, namely spilling of blood directly onto floor? Liflog b'didei, stay within the example of spilling from receiving vessel as follows. Bamed v'mamurim, when do you say that it's kosher? Kishiyotso lachutz, when the blood flowed away from the mizbeach. Then we would give you the option, as was indicated in the first source, kosher. You can gather it up and bring it to the Mizbeach for Zrika. Aval nichnas lifnim. But if it flowed inwards toward the Mizbeach, puzzle. Now, it doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that distinction. In other words, it seems that the only way we can find a case of psul is only if it flowed directly onto the floor. However, if it had spilled from a vessel, even if the dam flowed toward the Mizbeach, that would not be puzzle. Tiufta. This is a repudiation of what Ula said, that Ula Amar Rav Yochanan, that Halacha Shel Beregel is Posel. We see from the fact that the source did not teach that case of Psul, it must be that Halacha Shel Beregel is not Posel. Itmar, Halacha Shel Beregel. You see the bow tie form, we actually had one a number of lines above. We featured that in the previous shiur. These were comments who have some connection to the issue of halacha shelo beregel. At this point in the Gemara, there's a new approach that says that halacha shelo beregel is a machloikes Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. Before we go further, let's take a look at our topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. We have featured the house with the colored in tip as a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of the arguments of the back and forth of the Gemara. We have the explanation that accompanies this is a meimra de hoylocha shelo beregel havei machlokes Rav Shimon v'Rabbanan b'mishnasenu. The Gemara will be claiming, as we just read, that the carrying of the dam or the movement of the dam towards the Mizbeach, other than by the foot, which is the correct way, but done any way other than by foot, that would be a machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan, based on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Shimon, who we saw in the Mishnah, says that a machshava psula does not take effect during halacha because halacha, in his opinion, was an expendable activity. He will take on the position that says that halacha shelo beregel is okay. The Rabbanon who viewed halacha in the Mishnah as a serious activity in the sense that a machshava psula, an incorrect mindset during that activity, could ruin the carbon, they will take the opinion that they will take the side that holocha shelo beregel, an improperly executed holocha, will also constitute a psul. The Gemara continues, b'holocha rabosi. Holocha rabosi means regular holocha, by carrying something, carrying the dam. The kule alma lo pligi de psula. Everyone will agree, namely Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon in the Mishnah, will agree that if he had a machshava shelo lishma during a regular holacha with one by one by foot, that definitely will be pasul. That the machshava shelo lishma will ruin the korban pesach or the chatas. Ki pligi b'holacha zutrasi. The whole machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon. This line is a rather surprising line, but when you learn the Mishnah, you'd have to bear this in mind, for the time being, of course, that the whole machlokas Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon concerns holocha zutrasi. That means holocha shelo beregel. Zutrasi literally means small or minor holocha. But we're using the term zutrasi to contrast it with the term rabosi before, which meant by foot. Here, zutrasi means by stretching out one's hand with the blood and handing it toward the mizbeach. And in this case, Reb Shimon will machshir, calling it's not considered, in other words, a machshava psula during holocha zutrasi is okay, doesn't ruin the korban because it's lo shmei holocha. That holocha shelo beregel, he would say, is lo shmei holocha. Mochaku alo b'marova. We have a long marking that accompanies this piece of Gemara. You'll notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, we've written in the word Mochaku. And as you go down, you'll see we have a length indicator. This is stage one of the Gemara in featuring what Mochaku is referenced to. Mochaku in this case means a challenge. Literally, it means laughed or jeer. An expression indicating skepticism. The Gemara after this, these several lines, as you can see, the Roman numeral 1 indicator with the mochaku, there's a dechia that follows where this comment will be rejected, and we're also able to navigate with our house positioning marker. On the side, we also feature the inverted house with an accompanied number 1 and 2 and called shlavim, stages in trying to define machakula b'marava is cholek al hai memra, will be at odds with the memra that we just saw, namely that the whole machlokas in the Mishnah between Rav Shimon Rabbonon concerns halacha zutrasi. So now, let's learn the Gemara. Mochaku Allah b'marava. In Eretz Yisrael, they ridiculed this teaching that the whole machlokas Rav Shimon Rabbonon concerns halacha zutrasi. Ella, they say as follows: Ella chata soif the posil ba machshava le Rabbi Shimon heichi mishkachas la. We have to give a little bit of background here. A chata soif is a bird offering. It was it was slaughtered through using one's thumbnail, which is called malika, and its zrikas adam was done while holding the bird and waving it toward the direction of the mizbeach, waving the bird after its neck was severed, and waving it into the direction of the mizbeach. That action of what's called hatozas adam, the waving of the blood while holding the chatasov, that can be termed holocha zutrasi. It's in effect bringing the blood closer to the mizbeach. There's also a given that it is possible to have an incorrect, an invalid machshava while doing a chatas ha'of. The Gemara is asking, if you are going to label halacha zutrasi as a non-halacha, and that is the position that Reb Shimon would take according to the presentation we had prior to this. So if halacha zutrasi is not considered halacha, then the action of waving the chatas of toward the Mizbeach would be a point at which a machshava psula would not be chal. And yet we know that a machshava psula could be chal during that action. So let's read the Gemara again. The Machaglomarvas asks, Elo chatas of the posil bo machshava the Rabbi Shimon, hechi mishkachas law. E de choshiv alo mekami de lepukdam, if he had his incorrect mindset or thought before the dam came out of the bird, lo klum he. It's nothing. It's of no bearing. The idea of choshiv, if he had his thought mekami de lepukdam. Rashi explains that is the halacha zutrasi. That's the hatoza, the attempt to sprinkle the blood by moving the hand, by waving the bird while holding it. So if he had a machshava during that action while he's holding the bird and waving it before the blood exited the bird, then if you say that according to Rabbi Shimon that that's halacha zutrasi and hence it's not considered halacha, so lo klumhi, then machshava would have no effect during that time. The e boser denofak dam, if the dam already exited, then is avido le mitzvah, so then the mitzvah has been accomplished. And the idea here is that even if the dam has not yet reached the mizbeach, the mitzvah has already been performed. At that point, it would be considered too late for a machshava psula to take effect. The Gemara rejects this. In other words, if machaku alobam arova is based on the inability to find machshava psula according to Reb Shimon while processing the chatas ha'oif, that's not true. I'm able to find a scenario where a machshava psula will take hold. My kushya dilma mide porish dam viad demotel mizbeach. It could be that the person, the kohen, has the improper machshava at the point in time that the blood is in mid-air. It's left the animal. Left the bird is in midair, and before it hits the mizbech, during that time he has his machshava psula, so that one could hold that holocha zutrasi itself is lo shmei holocha according to Reb Shimon. Notice, of course, we are able to say this by focusing on the position of our house marking. This house marking corresponds to the house marking that featured the issue of halacha shabra as a machlokas Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. So it could be that Rabbi Shimon will maintain that position that halacha shalo beregel itself is lo shmei halacha. And if you'll ask, when then can there be a machshava psula taking hold while processing the chatas of, we will answer while the blood is in midair. And clarifying this issue of blood in midair, the Gemara cites a question that Rabbi Yirmiya once asked Rabbi Zera. Hoya maze, a kohen was waving, was sprinkling the blood. The nikta yodoi shel maze ad shelo higia dam la'avir hamizbeach mahu, and the, let us say, the hand of the kohen got chopped off. That's nikta Yodo shel maze, the hand of the maze, the one sprinkling the blood, got chopped off before the dam hit the mizbeach. What is the din? Is that considered an avoda b'bal mum or not? Is that considered an improper avoda because a blemished individual is doing it? Mind you, the question, the whole issue comes up because the hand got cut off while the blood still had not reached the Mizbeach. The Amar Lei and Rabbi Zera answered, Psula. It, in fact, does constitute an avoda b'balmum. My taima. And what's the basis for that? V'hizo v'nosan bo'inon. That you require the entire action from beginning to end to be done by a kohen who is physically kosher. The Rashi points out, a point that we made a few times already, that we see from here that the concept of Hazah takes place till the Dam gets to the Mizbeach. Hence, what we've said before is that if you'll ask when can a Machshava Psula take hold in the case of Chatas Of, while also maintaining that holocha shaloi beregel loishma holocha, namely holocha zutrusi, according to Reb Shimon, is not considered holocha, the answer to that is it can take hold when the dam is in midair. Ki osu Rav Popov Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua mi beirav amri hainu chuka. Notice we have a Roman numeral number 2, and we also have the inverted house marking. The above, we saw Mochaku Allah b'marova in Eretz Yisrael, Marova Eretz Yisrael, they ridiculed the analysis that was presented prior to that, that the Machlokas Reb Shimon Rabbonon concerned Holocha Zutrusi. So the first approach suggested that the ridicule of that approach was based on the issue of Chatas Of. We showed that Chatas Of would not pose any threat to the position that was taken originally, that Reb Shimon would say Holocha Shel Beregel, namely Holocha Zutrusi, is not Shmei Holocha. So what was Marava ridiculing? So at this point we have their approach explaining Hainu Chuka. This is what their ridicule is based on. What was the original statement that they reacted to? They reacted to a statement that claimed that by Holocha Rabosi everyone agreed that a machshava psula could take hold. Hainu chuka ubaholocha rabosi lo pligi. Are you telling me that everyone would agree that during a regular holocha a machshava psula could take hold? Vaki pligi b'locha rabosi pligi. But the whole machlokis between Rav Shimon and Rabbanan concerns holocha rabosi. Ela b'holocha zutrusi kule alma lo pligi deposla. And we're reading according to the Girsa that one can find in Rashi. So rather, the more accurate presentation of the Machlokas of Shimon Rabbanon would be that regarding Holocha Zutrusi, everyone would agree, the posla, that a Machshava Psula could take effect. And the reason for that, Rashi, is because the Holocha Zutrusi is a situation that would be EF Shulavatla. So reading the Gemara again was Ela Baholocha Zutrasi Kuliama Lo Pligi de Pasla Ki Pligi Baholocha Rabosi. It would seem most likely to say that the case of Holocha Zutrasi that we're classifying as EF Shulavatel would be the case of the Chata Sa'of. That's the only way that it's processed. The animal's neck is severed next to the Mizbeach, and while holding the bird, you have to wave it toward the Mizbeach to accomplish the Hazoas Adam. So that waving action was described earlier as that's Holocha Zutrusi. That action has to be done. It's Eif Shulavatla. And as a result of that, even Rav Shimon would agree that a Machshava Psula could take hold. The whole Machlokas between Rav Shimon Rabbonan concerning the issue of a machshava psula during halacha, that is true with regard to halacha rabosi, namely while walking by foot, carrying the dam to the mizbeach with regard to other korbanos. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that which follows is a new idea. Before going on, let's glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a nosei, mivneh heading. We have a double underline with dots in it. Dugmois shel hoylocha bayatiois shehoya zar mu'urav bohen. We're going to see cases of problematic holocha situations where a non-koyen is involved. In the cases that we'll see situations, two situations are featured in the Gemara. In each one of them, there is an initial movement of the dam towards the mizbech, which we call holocha. Then the dam is distanced, it's reversed away from the Mizbeach, and then once again brought toward the Mizbeach. Issues that we'll deal with is Haim Nitan Letaknam, is it possible to repair the situation? And Haim Yesh Lahadgish Haschola Oyasof. And a second issue that we'll deal with is it important to emphasize the first stage, the first holocha, the nature of the first holocha, or are we to emphasize the second stage of the holocha? Once again, when we speak about stages, we're going to be featuring cases of where the dam was initially drawn toward the Mizbeach, then carried away, and once again drawn toward the Mizbeach. Let's see the cases. So case one, holichoi zar. The czar, the unqualified individual, the czar, the non-koyen, he takes it toward the mizbeach, vehechziroi koyen, and then a koyen takes it from him and reverses it, takes it away from the czar and draws it away from the mizbeach, vechozar veholicho, and that koyen who was machzirit, he then goes and does the holocha again. Is this an acceptable situation? Pligi bo b'nei Rabbi Chiyo v'Rabbi Yanai. Chad omar kosher. One approach says it's okay. In other words, he would emphasize the second stage where the koyein repeated the holocha. V'chad omar posel. And one of the two opinions says it's an unacceptable situation, even though a koyein came into the picture later. Mar Sovar Efshel Iskuna, the opinion that says it's kosher holds that an improper holocha is repairable. Umar Sovar Lo Efshel Iskuna, it's irreparable. Holicho Kohen, the Ichziroi, the Chozer Velichozar, here the holocha started off in a proper way, and then it was reversed and redone improperly by a czar. Omar of Simi Barashi, the Divrei HaMachshir, according to the one who gave the okay in case one. In case one, the one who gave the okay seemed to emphasize the fact that the second stage was done properly. So if you follow the approach of the first of the Machshir in case one, here, puzzle, because he emphasized second stage. In this case, the second stage was done by the czar. L'divrei HaPosel, in case one above, the Dea, the opinion that held it was no good, he emphasized the situation in its initial phase. So in this case, the initial phase, in case two, the initial phase is done properly. Therefore, machshir, he will say it's kosher, because here, the first one to do it was a kohen. This has been Rav Simi's analysis. Rova disagrees. Rova Omar, af ledivrei haposel, pasul. Even according to the opinion, in case one, that pasled, here, in case two, it will also be puzzle. My taimo, why does it not help? Why does it not help the fact that it started out in case two as a koyein? Let's review what we mentioned earlier. Case one, according to the posel, was no good because it started off with a czar. Here we have it starting off with a kosher individual. So why should it not be okay? So the Gemara explains, "My taimo, deha tzorich le'amtuye," because in the final analysis, the dam has to be brought. Amtuye means to be brought to the mizbeach. So any stage that involves the dam being brought to the mizbeach, if it's done by a posel, and in this case, in case two, though it started off kosher, when in actuality the dam was brought to the mizbeach, it was done by a zar. So that itself is grounds for it being posel. Omar le Ravino the Ravashi. We have a long point in the Gemara, as you can see, as illustrated by the Nun to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. It is circled with a vertical dashed line that lasts quite a few lines. Ravino says to Ravashi, Hochi Omar Rabbi Yirmiyo Midifti. Ha Tzorech Lamtuye equals Machloikis Rebbe Elozer V'Rabbonan. Before we go further, let's glance at the Rashi at the top. Ha Tzorech Lamtuye de Koamris La'achshuva Avoida. The issue that we just finished describing, that the fact that it needs to be brought to the Mizbech, that's whatever stage it is, even if it's the second stage that's done, but since it needs to be done, that categorizes it as an avoda. It categorizes the Hoylocha Basra, the second Hoylocha, as being an avoda. Bearing in mind, once again, we're analyzing right now the opinion that seemed to emphasize the first stage. But nevertheless, since the second stage was necessary, that's called Tzorech Lamtuye, and as a result of it being necessary, it's considered an avoda. Mehai taimo, machlokes Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan hu b'masnisin. Before we go further in the Gemara itself, let's take advantage of our topic heading on the outside margin, the nosei. Nisyonu sh'Rabbi Yirmiyahu midifti l'hamid kemachlokes tanoim, namely Rabbi Elazar v'Chachomim b'mishnah daf yud gimel amud aleph, the attempt of Rabbi Yirmiyahu to establish the issue of Hanosei Shel Tzorech Lamtuye, the issue that we're dealing with right now, Tzorech Lamtuye, Holocha Hashnia Acharei Shehurchak Min HaMizbeach, the second stage of the Holocha after it had been distanced from the Mizbeach, Rav Yirmiyahu wants to establish this issue as a Machlokes Tanoim. Behemshech HaGemora, in the continuation of the Gemara, Abaye Doiche, he will reject this Al Yidei Mokor, through producing a source, the Sheboi Rabbi Elazar Moide the Chozar V'Yichnisoi is Hoylocha Gemura, that a second stage that's done is considered a full-fledged Hoylocha. So as we are looking at the Gemara, we have a long point that concludes with that reaches till the point of Gemara that Abaye responds. So at this point, this is a nekuda, we'll call it, of Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti, that says the issue of Tzorech Lamtuye is a machlokes Rabbi Elazar and the Rabbanan. So let's read this now in the Gemara from Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. Amar Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti ha Tzorech Lamtuye. The idea of having to be brought to the Mizbech, what we call the second stage, and its subsequent classification as a full-fledged avoda, machlokes Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan, disnan. Rabbi Elazar omer, hamahalech b'mokim shetzorech lahalech, machshava poiseles. Where one does a halacha in a situation that you have to do the halacha, so an improper machshava could ruin the korban. Mokom she'ein tzorech lahalech, ein machshava poiseles. If it's a situation that one does not need to do the halacha, machshava would not take effect. The Omar Rava Hakol Moidim, everyone would agree, Kibloi Bachutz Vichniso Bifnim, that if one did the Kabbal Saddam at a distance from the Mizbeach and then carried it toward the Mizbeach, Zehu Hiluch Shitzorch Lahaloch. That's a necessary halacha, and under such circumstances, everyone would agree that a machshava psula could take effect. Kibloi Bifnim Valtzio Lachutz, if one received the dam, relatively speaking, closer to the Mizbeach, and then carried the dam away from the Mizbeach, Zehu Hiluch She'ein Sorach Lahaloch. That's an unnecessary movement of the dam, and hence everyone would agree that Machshava Psula would not take effect. Loi Nechleku Ela, the whole Machlokis would arise, the Machlokis being Rabbonin and the Reb Elazar would arise, Kishich Nisoi. He carried it toward the Mizbeach, the Chozar v'hoitzioi, the Chozar v'hichniso. After carrying it towards the Mizbeach, he then distanced it from the Mizbeach and then returned toward the direction of the Mizbeach. Mor Savar ho tzorach lemtuye, the Rabbonon would say, well, that's a necessary carrying, and hence a machshav psula could be chal. Umor Savar Lav kihiluch hatzorach lavoda domi, and Rebbe Lozer would classify that as an unnecessary halacha. It's a halacha that could have been avoided. Esvei Abaye. Abaye asks on Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti's approach, and he cites a source in which Rebbe Lozer is featured, and we will see what he says about this situation of a second carrying after what which was described in the Gemara as a case of hichnisa v'chazer v'tzio v'chazer v'chnisa. Let's see what Rebbe Lozer in fact holds about that. We just got finished saying before we go on to the Esri Abaye, but that Rebbe Lozer would say it's not considered a necessary hiluch. So let's see Esri Abaye. Rebbe Lozer Omer Hamahalich Mokum Shitzorch Lalech Machsheva Poiseles. Where one does a halacha in a case that the halacha is necessary, an improper machshava will ruin it. Ketzad, kiblo b'chutz v'hichnisoi lifnim zehu hiluch shesorach l'alech, where the dam was received further from the mizbeach and then it was drawn toward the mizbeach. That's a hiluch that's necessary. Kiblo b'fnim v'hotzio l'chutz, if one distances it from the mizbeach, zehu hiluch she'ein tzorach l'alech. Chozar v'hichniso, and this is what's important for us, this is coming on the heels of a carrying of dam which distanced it initially from the Mizbeach. Here, he carries it back towards the Mizbeach. That is equals hiluch shetzorich l'alech hu. That is a necessary halach, and we're going within Rabbi Eliezer. This is Abaye's kasha on Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti. Omale, Sir Rav Yirmiyahu responds, I Tanya, Tanya. Says, if it's taught in a source, I can't argue with that, and hence I accept what it says here in the source. We now proceed to the second perek. Kol hazvochim shekiblu domon. We will see a list of unacceptable situations of unacceptable people and situations that they're in with regards to avodas hakorbanos, and here we're talking about kabbalas adam. So kol hazvochim shekiblu domon zar oinein tvuyom. By the way, we have little daf references above the each expression indicating where in the Gemara you will see these issues discussed. In other words, where the Gemara will present sources for each one of these. So we continue in the list. We read already the Zar, Oinein, Tvuyom. An Oinein is an individual who lost a close relative who has not been buried yet. During that state, one is called an Oinein. An issue comes up in Sugyas concerning the night after the burial. But for right now, the simple definition of onein concerns an individual, a close relative, who is in the state of aninus. We say that's the state during which the body has not been buried yet. Tavul yom. This is a situation of someone who was tomei, immersed in a mikveh, but the sun has not set yet. Umechusir begodim, one who's lacking the all of the required big day kehuna. Umechusir kipurim, this is a person who had been tamei, who needs to bring a korban on the day after he immerses in a mikvah. So until he's brought his korban, and there's not every type of tumah requires the bringing of a korban. Only a few forms of tumah, including a zav gadol and a zava gadola and a mitzora, would require the bringing of a korban, as well as a yoledis. And there we may have left out other examples. That is a mechusar kippurim, a person who had been tamei and needs to bring a korban at the end of his tumah period. If he does kabbalas adam before he brought his korban, he would ruin the avoda. Another situation is called shaloi rochatz yadayim v'raglayim. The kohen did not wash his hands and feet with the water container in the Azora. Orel, uncircumcised, Tome, in a state of ritual impurity. Yoishev, does avoda while seated. Oimed, Algabi Kalim, Algabi Behemo, Algabi Ragle Chaveroi, Posal. If one is standing, but he's standing with a chatzitza, an interposition between his feet and the floor, namely standing on vessels, or he's standing on an animal, or he's standing on his friend's foot, he ruins the avoda. Kivel besmoil, if one receives the dam while holding the vessel in his left hand, posal, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's take a look at what we have by way of introduction and structural notes. We have on the side, on the margin, in the margin, we have a Nosei Mivne heading. We see a diamond feature, Mekoros Dezar She'ovad Chilel. We will be seeing sources that indicate that a zar is a non-kohen who does avodas hamikdash, ruins the avoda. We will be numbering off three of these diamonds, the third one being found on Daf Tes Zayin Omid Aleph, about halfway down the page. So we will see a series of sources that will indicate a zar who does avoda is mechalel the avoda. We will see triangles indicating Shlovim de Toni Levi. These are stages in understanding the teaching of Levi that will be presented in the Gemara. Later, at the bottom of the Omid, we'll see a triangle with a colored in tip. Those are Shlovim de Toni de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Those will be stages in understanding the teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, the teaching from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. Continuing now in the Gemara. Zar minolon. From where do we know that a zar is mechalel avoda? Detoni Levi. Daber el aharon velbonov lemor. Vinozru mikotche b'nei Yisrael v'chulei. This pasuk comes up in the context of the prohibition of offering a korban while in a state of tumah. We have on the side of the Gemara, on the inside margin, we've included a pasuk for you. Vayikrachov beis, pasuk beis, daber el aron, let's read the whole pasuk, daber el aron velbonov, vinozri mikotshi b'nei Yisrael, velo yichalu es shem kotshi, asher heim makdishim li, ani Hashem. Pasuk Gimel says, emor aleihem, ledoro sechem, kol ish asher yikrav mikol zarachem, el hakodoshim asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael Hashem, v'tum osoy olov, v'nichrso anefesh shahi, milifonai, ani Hashem. So the Pasuk Gimel mentions that we're talking about a case of a korban offered in a state of tumah. How do we see from these psukim the issue of zoros? So the Toni Levi, we'll read this again now in the Gemara, Daber el aroin velbonav lemor, vinozer mikotche b'nei Israel. The expression "b'nei Yisrael limutei mai." Who is being excluded in this pasuk? He lema limutei noshim. If you are suggesting that we're here to exclude women, namely the sacrifices of women, because the pasuk says "b'nei" meaning the men folk of Israel. If that is what you think it means, are you telling me korban noshim betumah karev, that the sacrifices of women can be offered in a state of tuma. Once again, we pointed out that Pasuk Beis comes, following Pasuk Beis comes Pasuk Gimel, which features the issue of the prohibition of offering korbanos in a state of tuma. So if you're going to interpret the Pasuk Beis, B'nai Yisrael, as being a restriction expression, limiting the prohibition of offering tuma to male korbanos, to the male, to male-owned korbanos, to the exclusion of female-owned korbanos, that's simply not true. Because the fact is that korbanos, sacrifices owned by women, when brought to the Beis HaMikdash, must be offered in tahara as well. Ela, continuing in the Gemara, Ela, limute ovdei kohavim. Maybe what the pasuk is coming to do is to tell me that korbanos of Gentiles need not be offered in a state of tahara. The Gemara rejects that as well. Hashtot sits lo meratze. Mind you, when dealing with the sacrifices of Gentiles, the Kohen Gadol head plate, known as the tzitz, which ordinarily has an atonement capacity with regard to issues concerning tumah of korbanos. When it comes to the korbanos of Gentiles, the Kohen Gadol head plate does not have this atonement power. The Omar uba oivde kechovim bein b'shoigeg bein b'mezid lo hurtza. When it comes to the Gentile sacrifices, whether the animal sacrifice, whether the sacrifice, the meat became tummy, or the dam became tummy, b'shogeg or b'mezid, it's not acceptable. Lo hurtza, the Kohen Gadol tzitz, the Kohen Gadol head plate, does not atone. So we see that the Gentile korbanos, we're very concerned that we maintain their purity and cannot rely at all on the tzitz. So, after seeing such concern with their maintenance in purity, but tumah korev, would one think that it can be offered in the state of tumah? Absolutely not. Ela hochi ko'omar. So rather, when we view the pasuk that we opened up with of v'inozru mikotche b'nei Yisrael, what the pasuk is saying is as follows: v'inozru mikotche b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalulu, which means v'inozru has to do with distancing oneself. That means as follows: that in a state of tumah, one must distance himself from all korbanos, not only men, korbanos owned by men, but also those korbanos owned by women, those korbanos owned by Gentiles. All korbanos, one must be careful to offer in a state of tahara. There's another thing to darshan from this pasuk: b'nei Yisrael v'lo yichalulu, which means that someone who's a zar, they too must yinozru. In other words, the pasuk that said v'yinozru might be viewed as if v'yinozru is going on going on two topics. Yinozru means distance oneself. So the two topics were tumah, that tumah must be distanced from korbanos, and b'nei Yisrael means zorim, non-kohanim must distance themselves from avodas hakorbanos, so as not to cause them to be mechulo. That's B'nai Yisrael must distance themselves v'lo yichalu, and thereby not cause chilul. So that would be a source for zar being posel l'avoida. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tona Asya b'kal v'chomer mibal mum. We can determine that a zar is mechal avoda through kal v'chomer logic, based on the din of a baal mum, a kohen with a blemish. Uma baal mum she'ochel, a kohen with a blemish is allowed to eat korban meat, even though he's not allowed to do the sacrificial service. He's allowed to eat the meat. So you have a baal mum she'ochel. He has a certain leniency attached to him insofar as that he's allowed to eat the meat. Im ovad chileil, if he does avoda, if a baal mum does avoda, the pasuk says mum bo v'lo yichala es mikdoshai. If a person does avoda while being blemished, he is mechala the avoda. Zar she'enu ochel, a zar, namely a non-kohen, is not allowed to eat kochei kochim, which is a greater stringency than we find by a baal mum. So here we have a realm that's more strict, Eino Din, She'im, Ovad, Chila, then all the more so. If he does the Avodah, the Zar, he will Mechalal, he will ruin the sacrifice. The Gemara will go on with a back and forth discussion concerning this method of reasoning. That, in Mitzvah Shem, will be the subject of our next shiur. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.